This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've had college football media days this week. The SEC, the ACC, the Big 12. We've had coaches across the land speaking at podiums, some smart, some not. Larry Fedora. And so, joining us to discuss the storylines of college football this week is senior writer and college football insider for Yahoo Sports, my good friend Pete Thamel. Pete, good morning.
DA, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing after a whirlwind of college football media days this week?
DA, it's talking season, your kind of season.
It's my kind of, that's my kind of season. You began in the Big 12, and we have a story that starts to brew where the Big 12 doesn't have that showcase program. And you wrote about this. And last year with Oklahoma, they had Baker Mayfield. But this year, is there one? Is this the least power of the five power conference teams in your mind going into, power conferences rather, going into this season?
I do. I think so, DA. And the thing that stood out to me at the Big 12, look, Oklahoma's won the league 3 years in a row. They're an excellent program. They're very talented. I think Lincoln Riley has ratcheted up the recruiting there to a level that maybe it faded later in Bob Stoops' time. But I just think spending 2 days at Big 12, like, there was a remarkable lack of star power. You know, outside of Will Grier, who you know, could be a Heisman candidate for West Virginia, who the NFL likes, there's really like the next three best players in that league are probably tailbacks, or at least the three sexiest players are tailbacks. You got Montgomery at Iowa State, who I think is very good, Justice Hill, and then you obviously have Rodney Anderson at Oklahoma. And let's face it, the Big 12 ain't making a lot of hay with tailbacks. That's not the DNA of that league, as you know. So I really just feel like, you know, the Big 12 is, as all of college football, the quarterback is always the bellwether, and that would be my worry right now, whether, you know, just there's so many new faces and so many battles going on at quarterback around that league. I'm just not sure that there's going to be an established team there that you can stand on a table and say, oh, they're going to make the playoffs.
I thought it was interesting that Mike Gundy started stumping for a group of five programs. When it's talking season, these coaches like to talk about their own program, how great their own program is, and how great their own conferences are. And so you rarely hear anybody speak out of conference. And here's Mike Gundy saying we should open up and expand the college football playoff. I felt like it sounded kind of self-serving, because if they expand to eight, that means the Big 12 automatically gets a bid if they've got a champion. Did you sense a self-serving nature to Mike Gundy stumping for smaller teams?
I think so. I mean, certainly that would serve everyone. It's you know, it's a little bit like basketball coaches wanting like 2,600 teams in the NCAA tournament so they can make it every year and they won't get fired, right?
Right.
Yeah, let's expand it to 129 and then I can go, you know, 6-10 in my league and still not get fired. But I think that, look, you always got to follow the money in college sports, DA, right? It's not complicated. And eventually, this thing's going to expand. Is it imminent to expand? No. Eventually, it will. Gundy has always obviously liked to poke the bear. Shoot, he pokes the Big 12's bear all the time, saying, you know, we don't need Houston, you know, during realignment, all that kind of stuff. So I think, though, that is a reasonable – I think eight is reasonable for the college football playoff in the long term. You get your five Power Five conference champions. So the regular season still has juice. Conference title games are essentially quarters – or whatever they'd be beyond that. And then you throw one group of five in there to have some sort of Cinderella, Boise-ish, small school interest, and then you pick two at-larges. You know, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing that does not affect the sanctity of the regular season. Anything past eight, I think you start to. So I think, you know, Gundy's saying out loud what a lot of these guys are wishing.
Pete Thamel joins us, Yahoo Sports, to talk some college football. He broke the news that Clemson is going to sign Brent Venables, their coordinator, defensive coordinator, to the largest assistant coach contract in the history of college football coaches, which is notable. The prices of elite coordinators continues to go up. Are there any of those around college football that have a little weak stomach seeing those costs of assistants go up to $2 million a year while also holding tight to the line we cannot pay players?
Yeah, I mean, that notion that there's not enough money for the players gets emptier and emptier from the suits who still spill it out. Look, there's two ways to look at this. One is, like, there's billions of dollars flowing in, and a guy like Brent Venables, who is a top five coordinator and has been for 15 years in college football, he's an awesome recruiter and really a dynamic force behind the scenes there at Clemson, is probably worth $2 million. And Clemson can certainly afford to pay him. And I give Clemson a lot of credit. You know, when you look back at the early years at Dabo when they were struggling and people were like, who's this obscure wide receiver coach with a funny name you hired? They were very smart. They went out and invested. They hired Chad Morris and paid him a lot of money. And then they went out and got Brent Venables from Oklahoma and paid him a lot of money. And they said, you know what? We're gonna control some controllables here if we're gonna compete with the SEC, and we're gonna spend like they spend. So this is a manifestation of that. I mean, it's $11.6 million. Some of the money's deferred, which saves the university a little bit of money. But I do think it's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a claim by Clemson here. Be like, all right, SEC, you know, Aranda makes 2.5, which is the highest annual at LSU, I think that just the way that's going, it's not going to stop, because now there's going to be others. But you got to think, if you're a lower tier Power Five head coach, you're making not much more or maybe less than Brent Venables and Dave Aranda.
Yeah,
which is crazy. It's almost like the gap between have and have nots has grown pretty significantly between Power Five and non Power Five. I think there's also a really significant gap between the top and bottom of these big leagues.
Absolutely. I mean, Clemson and Texas A&M can pay their coordinators probably more than Wake Forest or BC can pay their head coaches, right?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are probably a little bit above that, but you're starting to talk about the coordinators at those types of schools are making a quarter of what the coordinators are making there, which is crazy.
So interesting. As Pete Thamel joins us here on the show, talking a little college football during talking season. And one guy that did talk and probably shouldn't have was Larry Fedora, dismissing the notion that there was a connection between football and CTE. Look, I realize that there are people out there politically that believe we become a soft society, the snowflake itis, and et cetera. And so there are people that probably say, yeah, tough football means a tough American. We need that. That's fine. But to me, it's problematic if a head coach entrusted with the health of young people is the one that's dismissing science and saying, nah, I don't even know if there's a connection. Yeah. I know that his AD said, well, it just got lost in translation. But North Carolina's administration can't be happy that this was his talking point, right?
No, I mean, that storyline overtook ACC Media Day. I mean, it completely upended it. Like, just the snickers and the eye rolls from coaches, administrators, PR people around the whole thing, you know, and it was funny to hear how prepared the coaches were on the second day to answer Gus's question. The health and safety of our players is of the utmost importance. It's like they were programmed robots. Now, look, I encourage your listeners. Eric Adelson at Yahoo wrote a really interesting article yesterday, basically saying the science behind some of what Fedora said is actually correct. He quoted some neurologists from MIT and from some big time places. So, but just what possessed Larry Fedora to wake up that day and have that sort of America's Gone Soft manifesto? And in any way, if you're downplaying the threat of concussions and the safety of players, I just think that is just a horrible look. Nothing Larry Fedora can do on the field this year will get him more attention than his day of infamy at ACC Media Day this week. It was just ham-handed and unfortunate. You know, it's actually funny. I was talking to one of Fedora's former assistant coaches for another story in the past 48 hours, and he said to me, he said he'd worked for a half dozen head coaches over the years, and he said none were actually better in about player safety and about resting guys and about doing all the right things than Fedora, which, you know, is it obvious? It's good that in practice he is in contrast with what he was saying. But I mean, the comments that really got me were like, "Our country is going to suffer if you can't run down on kickoff, and we're under attack. Football's under attack." I mean, it was just completely tone deaf, especially at a sort of wine and cheese school like Carolina that's buttoned up, and of course, one of the leading concussion research centers in the world is, you know, hundreds of yards from Fedora's office.
If we take away kickoffs, Pete, America goes down the tubes with it. I've been telling you this for years.
Fox News thought that was over the top.
So, you know, what's interesting about Larry Fedora's comments is, doesn't this open him up to vulnerability in recruiting? I mean, other coaches, other schools can use this against them, right? Well, I don't know if at UNC you'll get the best treatment if you get hurt. I mean, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to haunt and follow Larry Fedora for a long time. Fair or not, that performance is going to do that. I mean, look, there's no earthly reason why we should be talking about Larry Fedora on July 20, whatever it is. He went 0-8 in the ACC last year. All he had to do was go rumble some depth chart cliches and go on and try to do better. You know, that's all he had to do. And I was sitting in the hallway on the phone, and someone walked up to Fedora and said, "Coach, you're blowing up Twitter." And he kind of looked at the kid and was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Oh boy, he has no idea."
You had one job, Larry. Yeah. One job.
And to fire him, you know, say they go 0-8 in ACC again, I believe would cost more than $12 million. Now, after last season in the buyouts that were paid at Arkansas, Texas A&M, Arizona State, and we can keep going. I'm never going to say, "Oh, well, that guy won't get fired. His buyout's too big," because that notion has been swept away very quickly through the pockets of deep boosters. Now, Carolina isn't a place that you could argue cares enough about football to spend $12 million to oust a coach. So I do think that protects him somewhat. But the fact that I actually called someone to find out Larry Fedora's buyout on Wednesday is indicative of like how searing his comments were.
Pete Thamel joins us from Yahoo Sports. You wrote about where Florida State sits right now. And it's so interesting because Clemson is such a big dog, and yet here is Willie Taggart and Florida State really looking up from behind. How far has FSU fallen over the last, let's say, I don't know, 24 months? And where do they sit right now in the power structure?
Yeah. So they won the national title 5 years ago. So they have not precipitously fallen off the map. Last year was the first time they didn't win double-digit games. They were 7-6. I think it was in 8 or 9 years. But here's where things went sideways at Florida State, and one of the reasons Jimbo Fisher has said that they left. He's watched Florida State invest in all the wrong facilities, while Clemson's administrators, DA, have done everything right. They have the $55 million with a slide and the bowling alley and putt-putt thing. Like, Clemson has become the it school. Just like in the 90s, Florida State was like the it school. I bet junior high age DA watched Charlie Ward and loved every second of it.
No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah. They were the it school. And now that those same junior high kids watch Deshaun Watson and they see Dabo, who's just this culture warrior and is beloved and is like the perfect coach for this millennial generation. He's a connector. He is the opposite of the meathead Larry Fedora type. He is just the quintessential modern era coach. He's positive. He's behind guys. He's a relentless recruiter. So they kind of have the it coach right now in that part of the world, not named Nick Saban, and they have the it program. They have the dudes they've recruited. Their defensive line should have 3 first round picks this year. And so what Florida State has to do to catch up is, I think Willie Taggart's a good hire. I think he'll do well there. But I do think administratively there's an onus there that they need to take a hard look at what Clemson done, swallow some pride, admit some mistakes, and start building to catch up.
Pete Thamel joining us this morning here on the show. Check out his piece on Willie Taggart and where FSU is right now. Can new blood revive an old college football powerhouse? That's available on Yahoo Sports right now, yahoosports.com. Follow Pete for the latest this offseason as we count down to college football's regular season at Pete Thamel on Twitter. Again, that's at Pete Thamel, national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, and a close friend of the show. Pete, have a great weekend. Enjoy some beach weather on the Cape, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, I'll have some calamari for you.
Ah, yes. You're a good man. Thank you, bud.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.